If you could only wear one thing for the rest of your life, the rest of it, and I'm talking like, here, work, comfy clothes like your jambonis or even the bathing suit at the beach,
Oh.
and these were the following ring gears were your options. Which would you pick? You ready? There's two options. Mabel, IRS. Go.
Mabel.
Gotta be Mabel. It's comfy as all hell. We're talking
I'm sure.
Mabel though, not Viscera like
If you went in the
Garpenberg.
ocean wearing that, though, you'd drown probably, right?
Easily. That's where my
Well, I
head
don't know if
goes.
the air, all the air would come in and be like
You float to
floating device.
Japan.
Yeah.
No,
You know what's
you're
worse?
not. What do you got?
Like wearing one of those sumo suits. The
Yeah,
worst
yeah.
part about that is going into the water. You get the bubble in your bathing suit every once in a while. That's
Yeah.
like
Oh
one
my
huge
gosh.
bubble. Maybe
Yeah,
that's a
you're.
good thing
Wait,
because then you can just float.
am I
Exactly.
wearing Mabel's clothes, but like fit to my size, or Mabel's clothes, but Mabel's size? Because all four of us could fit into it then.
That's true.
Yeah, we could snuggle
Then
up.
you
The
gotta
Survivor
wear
Series
Mabel's
team.
stuff to work.
That
Team
sounds
R
dark.
wearing Mabel's uniform.
Let's start the show.
Welcome to the Washington Show.
You continue to talk like you're talking right now, you'll be history on this program. I guarantee you.
Extra cooler show.
Nobody eats beefaroni on a boat, man. That's a problem.
Far too many holes.
Yokozuna.
This blew my mind.
What you did, Jack Tunney, was focus.
No, thank you.
What?
And every time I see your lady, I'm going to kiss her. I'm going to.
Let's go. I've got under your skin. I'm ready for this episode now.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Extra Cooler Show. My name is Nick, otherwise known as Extra Cooler, and I am imagining us trapped inside of Mabel's ring gear right now, as if we
Trapped.
are inside the rhino in Ace Ventura 2, and Mike is poking his head out of like Mabel's sleeve trying to get us out.
Dude, the whole time that intro, the song was on, I was thinking about us in the Mabel costume. Like it's like a black and white Little Rascals sneaking into the movie or something, you know?
I smell a Photoshop, Nick.
But
Come
it's
on.
the other way. Yeah, the Survivor Series team,
Coming
where's
out of that
Mabel's
rhino.
clothes? The Always Sunny episode.
Yeah. Dee-dee-dee.
Yeah.
Here we are, Matt, Jim, and Mike. We are all back. Feels good to be back. As usual, you can find us on Instagram at Extra Cooler and join us over in our Discord channel. That's down below in the show notes for those of you who are not tired of me saying that every week. We have no housekeeping, but the one piece of housekeeping that we have is a happy belated birthday to none other than Mikey Workrate. Did you know you are older right now
No,
than
don't say
Roddy
it.
Roddy Piper at the
Oh.
time of the
Ooh.
1994 King of the Ring?
Please, that's awful news.
I don't know, man. Roddy looks shredded here. I
He
would almost
does.
expect that.
Yeah, did you see
So
him with the
looks
did you
way
see him
better
with
than I do right
the 5 o'clock shadow? It looks like he just got done like filming like a 3-episode arc on Silk Stockings at that point. So if you look like that, God bless you.
Yeah,
Right? I wish.
Mikey Workrate on Silk Stockings. That'd be it.
Dream come true of like teenage
Especially in
me.
the first 5 minutes before the
Yeah.
opener.
I'll play the saxophone on the
That's
opening, right?
the only part that was good. 5 more minutes. It's not
So
over
far.
yet.
We're veering into uncharted territory
Yeah.
here. Well, it's been charted well, I'll say well by us,
So,
actually.
yeah, if you didn't catch my drift, we are covering the 1994 King of the Ring, but more appropriately, we are covering Owen Hart and his accomplishments at the 1994 King of the Ring. So here we are. We're ready to get things underway. You guys ready?
Very much. Let's
All right.
roll.
So this week's card that we're covering, all in one part, 1994 King of the Ring, took place on Father's Day, Sunday, June 19th, 1994, from the Baltimore Arena in Baltimore, Maryland. The catchphrase was "the perfect Father's Day card." It's questionable. This pay-per-view follows WrestleMania 10, and the first question I have is: are they sure this is a WWF pay-per-view and not an AEW pay-per-view? Because I was absolutely shocked and surprised to see that we are about to watch 10 matches in 1994. What is happening?
Yeah, but what's the average length?
So,
6:36 or something?
so
less.
it's the longest match within the tournament. So this is
Whoa.
an 8-man tournament that happens all in one night. Beautiful.
The longest match is 8 minutes and 24 seconds, and it is the Razor Ramon versus Bam Bam Bigelow, and Owen versus Tatanka is 8:18. But they range anywhere from 3 minutes to 8.5 minutes, and that's it. That's it.
It's bonkers. Pretty the crazy. First match on the card is the longest one of the tournament matches.
Yeah.
Yes.
So Vince was not there. He was fresh off of neck surgery and the steroid trial. It's all floating in that territory. So Bruce Pritchard and Pat Patterson are the ones who booked this show. As Bruce told us on his podcast. And we're going to get things started right away. Okay. And we've got Ricky Medlock, member of Lynyrd Skynyrd and Blackfoot, trying his hardest to put his own spin on the national anthem before the show. And sweet Jesus, this is absolutely painful and brutal.
Yeah. What did Baltimore do to deserve this performance? That's
apparently, I don't know if it was Blackfoot or Lynyrd Skynyrd or Ricky Medlock had a performance in Baltimore that weekend, and he was local and Bruce Pritchard knew him and was friendly with him and called in a favor.
Blackfoot, I don't know who they are. I've never heard of a song, but Blackfoot sucks.
You might be right.
Is it me? Does he mess up the song too? Does he say "For the land and of the free"? It sounds like that. Yeah. I'm like, what did he just say?
Yes. And the low range was extremely flat. Like it was brutal.
Right. Let's
Ricky Medlock, he definitely is not a lead singer. And it's like when the band, like that guy takes off and tries to become a lead singer of a band. And that's almost what I imagine happened.
They probably gave him one song in the album, and now he's hot shit, right?
one thing about this Ricky Medlock guy.
How much does that guy weigh?
Uh-oh. So it begins.
Speaking of, on the call,
35 pounds, Art.
This is a very iconic call. We've got Gorilla Monsoon, Macho Man Randy Savage, and a 70-year-old Baltimore icon, Art Donovan, who was an NFL defensive tackle from the 50s and the 60s. And it's pretty iconic because of Art Donovan's appearance. He's completely uninformed of what's going on in the world of wrestling at this time. He's constantly asking some of the most ridiculous questions. I don't know. Art Donovan quite a bit.
It's like he's from another planet and they just dropped him in here and he has no idea what's what. It's like Jack Skellington, you know, like,
yeah,
yes,
what's this, or how much he weigh.
WWF loved to do this, like bring in these like guys who had no friggin' clue,
yeah,
like to just broadcast like what was the guy on Raw for like the first few weeks?
Rob Bartlett. Yes,
exactly. Like these guys have no clue. Why would you want them to like talk about wrestling?
Well, this guy, one match and get him out of there. You know what I mean?
Right? Like, yeah. Why the whole event? Oh my god! What are you doing?
Vince had to have been at home laughing his ass off.
Either that or fuming. Like I could see his face extremely red, fire coming out of his nose and smoke out his ears.
It's neck brace era Vince too, which they should make an action figure out of, I think, right? Like should they make a
too late for that one.
Yeah, yeah, no. Yeah. That would be a good sleazy one to make though now. Oh yeah, there he is. This guy at the height of his power. Right.
So before we get into the King of the Ring tournament, first of all, I was really excited to watch this, and I said this on last week's episode when Matt and I were here. I love how they did most of the tournament in the night of the pay-per-view. To me, that's King of the Ring, and that's what makes it fun.
They only did qualifying matches before this, so you had to qualify for the King of the Ring, and then it was an 8-man tournament from there. So it was it was definitely the nostalgia bomb that hits is because the entire tournament is in one evening.
And they're just doing the finals.
And didn't you love the qualifying matches on Raw back in the day? Like, this is awesome.
Yeah, so like, ready here? Listen to some of the guys that were in the qualifying matches.
I love it. Go.
And didn't make it. And it's like, okay, this is a legit tournament, right? Okay, Quang loses to Razor Ramon. Bam Bam Bigelow
beats. It's like a 16-minute match or something, too. It's like the longest match in the entire tournament. It happened off screen, not off screen, but on Raw.
Bam Bam takes out Thurman Plug. Then you got IRS beating Scott Steiner.
Yeah, what?
They were on their way out, though. They wanted to bounce. Yes, they were.
Mabel, who did Mabel take out? Pierre. Tatanka beat Crush. Owen Hart beat Doink. 1-2-3 Kid beat Adam Bomb. And Jeff Jarrett beat Luger.
Yeah, Luger. You know,
that's a count out. In a count out.
In a count out.
On the Doink thing, real quick, it was supposed to be Earthquake, actually. And he was pissed about, like, he was going to be jobbing a Yokozuna or something, like at house shows. And he bounced. And Doink was the fill-in. And during the qualifying match with Doink, Jeff Jarrett comes down and tries to kidnap Dink. How about that?
Oh, my God. 1994 is a gem. And we're on episode, also, by the way, congratulations to us. We are on episode number 150. Cheers to us.
Cheers, boys.
Got some McKellens over there.
It's pretty impressive, but it's kind of sad how we have not covered 1994 that much, and especially when you look at the names that I just rattled off.
WrestleMania 10, but I agree.
Yeah,
we've covered a lot of Owen in 94, actually, though. Like, because we did the tag team match. It's one of our OG episodes.
Probably. Oh, the Rumble, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, the
second episode.
The Beckers.
Yeah, we
bounced
around.
That's when you guys let me, like, creative control. That was a bad idea. I'm like, third episode ever. Let's cover the Quebecers match from 94.
We've bounced around with this feud all over the place.
Yeah.
But that's the fun of this. So the first
150.
150. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Before we move on, I want to talk about how the show opens with just like the guys in the back doing a promo with like the brackets. They have the brackets with like the nameplates and shit.
Yep.
And it's all the bad guys too. And they're like each trying to put their nameplate on like the King of the Ring.
The room looks like it's the same contractor from WrestleMania X7 too. Yeah. You know, the guy making the hardcore.
I think that's all Coliseum video extras too. So like they're sprinkled throughout. And I don't believe it was on the pay-per-view itself. So I thought that was a little benefit of the Peacock, the network version of this 1994. And usually we're complaining that it's the opposite, but this is still pretty cool.
I love the Coliseum video exclusives. It really like fleshes things out. And you see like the different side of a lot of the guys too. Like in one bit, we'll get to it later, Brett's like screaming and stuff. Like it's fun.
Ric Flair in the 92 Rumble is like, I'm coming out as number 3.
Yeah.
Third entrance.
Yeah.
So before we dive into this card, let's talk about what's in everybody's cooler for the special 150th episode. The Extra Cooler Show and What's in the Cooler is brought to you by Sloop Brewing Company. Sloop Brewing is known for their hazy and golden IPAs like Juice Bomb and Super Soft. What do you guys got to celebrate 150?
I got a gin gimlet over here.
Oh,
And this little fancy cup. See that? I'm sorry, the people at home can't see it, but it's truly beautiful.
It's like a horse and carriage.
It's our replacement glass. We put stuff in this instead of a martini glass because sometimes you go down on the couch. Oh my god, carrying a martini around spillage of dogs jumping around. You know, you can't have that. So it's a nice little cup for
nice size
strong drink. Yeah, exactly. Cheers, guys.
Cheers. It's not very often I feel like that Jim has a liquor beverage. Although in real life, I feel like those are usually later in the evening when you hang out with Jim, which can be scary. But I too brought a little something special for 150. I do have some scotch here. It's Balvenie, the double cask. So cheers. I've had this one before. It's one of my favorites. And felt like it was appropriate for 150. I have it in my nice fancy rocks glass here. The ice is melted a little, but
I like
cheers,
that old
boys.
School glass.
150. That's pretty friggin' cool.
So Mike, awesome. What about you?
Oh, I'm celebrating with that new Incubus beer, Stella. You are Stella.
So Incubus just put out a re-recording of Morning View, and Brandon Boyd's voice is very strange. It's like a little whinier than normal. The whole album back to back, including Aqueous Transmission, which I thought was interesting. And it brings me back because our first
opener
was Incubus off of Morning View, and Circles. So really cool. Really cool to kind of bring it full circle. So well done, Mike.
Very nice.
Intentional or not.
I am we're like in bizarro land right now because I have a beer with me. I'm a company man and I've got something from the Bomb Box, the Simcoe Bomb, which is my favorite out of the Bomb Box, the green can. I couldn't say no to that. It's delicious.
I'm a Citra guy myself. I feel like we've all learned about the Hop God along these 150 episodes, but cheers. I'm glad somebody was a company man.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers.
Get this thing started by talking about the dark match on the card. Thurman Plug defeating Quang with Harvey
what Whittle. Is that, like, loser's bracket?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
It must be, yeah.
All right, you guys go out there.
All right, our imagine first
that,
match.
Imagine that. It's Father's Day. Your family takes you. Like,
right?
If you don't even like wrestling, and just Thurman Plug.
Yeah.
Although that's not a bad match, actually. I'm not going to complain.
Savio, put the mask on and get out there.
Yeah.
Our first match of the actual pay-per-view and the King of the Ring kicks off with Razor Ramon facing off against last year's finalist, Bam Bam Bigelow, with Luna Vachon.
His Bam main Bam, squeeze.
Yeah, his main squeeze. We've talked about these two before, and they are a beautiful pairing.
Does that mean he has other squeezes? I always wonder about that term.
He's got some side pieces.
I bet Bam Bam does.
Definitely. I mean, he's so agile.
Yeah, exactly. He's got that badass. I love that music too. What do you think of that music? Oh,
I love the music. I love the gear. I love everything about Bam Bam Bigelow.
I feel like that genre of music's underrated too. The slow bad guy music. Do they really do it as much anymore? Like the old Demolition comes to mind. Doink bad guy heel doink.
My first question when watching this, though, is who in God's name put Bill Dunn out there to be the ring announcer? This guy, seems like he was plucked fresh from Atlanta and right off of WCW. He's awful. I forgot about it.
Same guy from WrestleMania 10, right?
I know. He's so bad. He's so bad.
You know, it's funny because he must be so bad that I didn't even notice him.
Really?
Like completely out of my brain. Like just didn't even hit at all. Like
they also do a reaction, right? You could tell little things they must have forgot about. Maybe it was Vince not being there, but I noticed there was a lot of times where the announce team was talking over Bill Dunn's introductions.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Think about it. So, it's like the cat's away. Not that you're going to play, but like that guy like ran a tight ship. You know, it's it's his show. So like without him, they're like, loosey-goosey.
Look at that ragtag announce group too.
Yeah, Monsoon off the bench, you know, like.
Yeah, I mean, right off the bat in this match, we've got Art Donovan asking all the really hard questions.
How much does that guy weigh? How much does that guy weigh?
Yeah, sorry, I had to play it twice just to get the point across.
He does ask multiple times with the guys not answering him, so he asks a third time.
He is
he vacillates between like asking the same question over and over again, and then just unintelligible. Like I'm like, what did he say?
And he has no clue who anybody is either.
Yeah. Yes,
he admits this though.
He does.
He certainly does. He doesn't know the rules, it feels like. He's asking questions about the matches, like how and why these things are happening. I'm very surprised that he didn't talk about Bam Bam's tattoos on his head.
Yeah.
That I was surprised about.
See them.
He's very concerned about the ringside people. Like Luna, he's like, why is that girl screaming? And Bill explains it, and he's like, oh, I get it now. Like,
perfect. I brought it. Here we go. Let's take a listen.
Take a look at that kisser. What's the girl over there screaming at? Well, Archie wants her man, Bam Bam Bigelow, to be victorious here and move on to the semifinals.
Oh, I see. Okay, now I get it.
It reminded me of like watching wrestling with like my grandfather who has no clue what the hell is going on.
Oh yeah, now I get it. It's like such an inappropriate thing to say on like a broadcast. Like, oh. Okay.
You're supposed to be informing us.
Yeah, it's like your backstage. Yeah. He's got a live mic, pal.
At one point, Razor Ramon is up in the torture rack, and Donovan asks, Gorilla, is he dead? Like, it just.
Yeah. They actually,
did they give him any direction whatsoever?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so at all.
No, Vince, no problem.
We'll figure it out.
Dad's away, the kid will play, kids will play. Yeah. Like, Jesus.
Correct me if I'm wrong here. Art Donovan, whatever the hell his name is, was later on the 1-800-COLLECT commercials, right?
No.
You're right. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, like later in the decade, yeah. Like they saw this and they're like, get that guy.
That guy. How many concussions do you think he had before this?
I believe he was also on an episode of Adventures of Pete and Pete. So fact check me, but.
Oh, man.
Matt's got some homework.
They give Bam Bam a run in this, but Bam Bam goes to climb the top ropes, goes for his moonsault, and Razor kind of gets underneath him for this weird looking power bomb and pins him, and
yeah.
Razor's moving on, and last year's finalist is headed home.
That's bummer for Bam Bam. King Bam Bam would have been kind of cool. Imagine King Bam Bam instead of King Mabel. I could give him that. Like, and if even, you want to give it to a big guy.
But okay, so speaking of pushes, you could kind of see where things were going with our next match of IRS facing off against Mabel with Oscar. And this is the first time
whoa, friend of the show, Oscar.
Yeah, yes, friend of the show, Oscar.
Maybe well,
Nick hasn't talked to him in 20 years.
It's been a while, right? It's a little sore subject if Oscar.
I actually logged on to AIM the other day, and his away
message.
Can
do that?
He had an away message up. It was like something about Mo's a piece of shit. And like, fuck that guy.
That's Sir Mo.
Sir Mo, my bad. Apologies.
Sir Mo.
Apologies, sir. Yeah.
We get a backstage segment with the Toddster, Todd Pettengill, and his big board. It's like a chalkboard with the nameplates that he's moving around. And Gorilla Monsoon sure does love Oscar, and so do I.
Yeah.
Speaking of Gorilla, let's play the age game. How old do you think Gorilla Monsoon is?
Here?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
47.
What? 47. It's 47. Where's the clip?
Will you? Yeah.
Yeah, 47. What do you got, Mike?
68.
He's 57.
What?
He's 57.
No way.
Yeah.
I was only a decade off.
They're pointing him out to pasture, and he's only 57. That ain't right. He's still he's blowing smoke here too. Like he's awesome still. He's Monsoon, what, you know?
I mean, he's got to keep the whole ship together, man, Macho and Art Donovan. Like,
I hear the frustration more in Macho's voice.
Yes. Or the lack thereof.
Pissed. Yes.
Like, in the last match, like, he says, like, Randy, I felt that down here. And Macho Man just doesn't say anything.
Yeah.
He no-sells it. He, like, just...
It happens it happens so often throughout this card, whether it's he's talking directly at Macho or directly at Gorilla, and both of them just blow right by, and they continue on with whatever they're doing. They don't step on him. They let him talk, but they just completely ignore him.
He steps on them a lot of times, so it sounds like, you know, us sometimes, you know, but they're supposed to be professionals. They're getting paid to do that, you know?
And there's parts here where, like, Art is going off again in this IRS against Mabel match, and I think I'm going to get out of here. It's dangerous. And then he asks, who's this guy in the white suit talking about Oscar? And, like, there's so many clips in this match in particular that I wanted to pull, but I pulled one because this one popped me the most that I think out of any of them.
Did you two guys enjoy doing this?
Oh, absolutely.
I can't imagine that. This is far worse than playing football. At least we had pads on.
I can't imagine that. How his voice gets high when he's imagine.
I love it.
The inflection on his voice is what did it for me too, Mike.
Yeah, but like him for one match would be fun. Like, holy.
Yeah.
But he actually thinks Oscar has a white coat on, and he's like thinking he like works at a hospital or something. Yes. Like, did he like, was he incapacitated when the guy was rapping down the aisle? Like, where was he? Now, granted, he sounds like Oscar sounded like Axe does, you know, with this when he smokes the stogies, you know how big Axe.
Oh yeah, like the super raspy.
Yeah, I imagine him talking about Oscar singing. Yeah, the extra cool, and I used to chat on instant messenger. That's what Oscar sounds like when he's singing, though.
Definitely. To IRS, he looks like a businessman.
Yo, Mike's got the Art Donovan down. Maybe it's a Colts thing. The Colts fan has got the Colts historic figure here down pat, but that was really good.
I'll take it.
Thinking about like the previous big men in WWF, like Mabel can move more than I remember him being able to move. Like, I'm not gonna lie. But this match is awful and it goes 5.5 minutes. I don't even
know. Do you know what Meltzer gave it? I do.
A dud.
0.5.
Wow.
The pin is so sloppy. Like, oh, Mabel is doing like a fish out of water type thing.
Yeah.
The IRS is pinning him. It's kind of funny to watch, actually, but it's god awful.
Why do they give IRS so much? I'm like, no disrespect to the guy, but like, I don't want to see the tax man in the semifinals. No. You know, but he's
overstayed his welcome at this point in 1994. Yeah, come on,
exactly.
He's like the second biggest heel.
Yeah, you're right.
He's just a good worker too. I guess that's probably what it is.
Yeah,
right?
Like, but he has moments where like they give him the mic on this pay per view, and it's like, whoa, that's. He's not bad. I mean, he's not good. He sounds a little like Bret Hart fumbling over his words left and right.
What other gimmick could he have? I always wonder that, like, because he's like clearly super talented. He like goes all in, obviously, on IRS.
Yes.
And like he makes that work. And in someone else's hands, it's like absolute trash. And he hated this guy too. Like it was like serious heel heat.
But I think that's why he's there, because IRS has legit heat. Like he gets out there, he gets on the microphone, no entrance music. He just talks shit down to the ring. And everyone in the crowd pops and gets mad at him because he's IRS. It's a classic.
Actually makes me think of gimmick. going to the county center back in the day and seeing him, and he would pop in a bad way, in the good way for him. Our dads who like didn't pay as much attention, certainly my dad never did, but they're like, boo, tax man, you suck. Like we hated it. And also like the non-fans did like hated his ass too.
So dude, we are just 2.5 weeks away from the next Westchester County Center show on June 1st.
What?
This guy and my little guy will be there, and I'm psyched for it.
Super jealous.
I was just gonna say IRS. Still has like another year left in the WWF after this.
Too much. Overstaying his welcome.
Irwin, man.
So Mabel loses to IRS. IRS advances in the King of Ring tournament. Not before we get to our next match. We've got a Coliseum home video exclusive.
There's two quick things. First, that Mabel Men on a Mission sequence jacket, I'm fully expecting Jim to be wearing the next time I get up there. So let's turn that around pretty quickly. Let's talk the chalk line. And
That's not a bad idea.
We can move forward from there. I got another one quick, though. After you.
After me?
Yeah, after Nick. Yeah, you can go ahead.
Oh, our Coliseum home video exclusive. Now you're going to know why it's in a home video exclusive, because it's Crush, Yokozuna, Mr. Fuji, and Jim Cornette backstage in the locker room. And it's Cornette's doing all the work. He's doing all the heavy lifting. They're blabbering. Crush and Yokozuna, it almost looks like they've just wrestled a match. They look exhausted.
Maybe they did. Coliseum video working their tricks, you know?
Oh, my God.
You're probably right.
It's hard to pay attention to this backstage segment because it's all over the place. And you look at these two paired up and I'm like, why can't this work? Like, why did it not work, the Crush and Yoko pairing?
And Yoko's fresh off of, like, being the champion. He just lost the belt. Yeah. What'd you say, Mike?
Sucks. That's why.
That's exactly it. I feel like Crush can never keep a gimmick long enough to make me give a shit about what he's doing. And this is no different.
Because the later Yoko tag team, Yoko and Owen, right, does much better. Like, they're tag team champions, right?
But Crush is also facing or is feuding with Lex Luger at this point, which completely checks me out, even in 1994. Yeah. So there's that part of it too.
And it's kind of like, didn't we already do this with these guys? Like, come on.
Thank you. It's 150. That sounded like right off a soundboard, actually. You can do that on command.
All right. So we're here to talk about our main reason why we're covering this. Our next match is Owen Hart facing off against Tatanka. This match, Owen's billed as the Rocket. He's got that beautiful all pink singlet.
He's all in pink.
It's fire.
I love it.
Fire.
I love it. But this is a trend that I noticed on this pay-per-view. How many matches, right? We watched 10 matches, and I think 8 of them all start with someone attacking someone before the bell, right? This is the second one, because the last match we have IRS attacks Mabel before the bell. This one, bizarre, makes no sense. I almost did a double take. Tatanka, you know, attacks Owen Hart before the bell and before Owen even gets in the ring. And I'm like, wait, this isn't, I almost thought allude this was,
to it.
They do.
The announce team,
they do.
Saying like, but there's a time limit and they just get like,
Macho keeps they don't saying how draw. There's a 15 minute time limit to each match. But for me, I was like, wait, this isn't Million Dollar Corporation Tatanka, is it? Like, this is 1994.
Soon.
Yeah.
He's been a heel like Hogan is, you know, like he's
very much
gets away with it. Tatanka, though, wow.
At the next pay per view, he turns to the corporation.
Really? SummerSlam?
SummerSlam, 94, yeah.
You want to know what?
This is a weird time.
You want to know what Art Donovan wants to know about Tatanka?
How much does that guy weigh?
No joke. I'm not being sarcastic. Art Donovan wants to know. Yeah.
Did he want to know about Tatanka too?
Yes, he wants to know how much Tatanka weighs.
Art, if you had just paid attention like 2 seconds earlier, the announcer says how much the guy friggin' weighs.
Yo, we're just giving him his ADHD diagnosis now. Like,
or Art. This is probably post concussion syndrome. If we're being honest.
Yeah, this is true. Yeah, I think he wore like the leather in his day, the leather head. You know,
this was the match where Macho was consistently reminding us about the 15-minute time limit, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, it's never a good sign when Macho Man's explaining the rules to you. Yeah, like, yeah. I chill out, Macho Man. Like, let Gorilla do that work.
Halfway through, we cut to the back.
Tatanka's looking wet, by the way.
Good night.
There was a snort in there and everything.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That was good. I'm so sorry.
Jim is also bright red right now because of the snort made it on microphone, and I'm loving that I get to play it up too.
Razor and IRS need to be broken up backstage, so they're really trying to heat that next round matchup up. We get a sleeper hold by Owen Hart, and I love how Gorilla Monsoon explains what the sleeper hold does to Art Donovan, because Art Donovan has no clue. But it ends after 8 minutes.
Him for all he can.
We get a DDT by Tatanka, but then Owen Hart reverses Tatanka's sunset flip attempt and does the whole sits on him and holds the legs for the pin. 1, 2, 3. Owen Hart's advancing onto the next round.
Man, oh man.
I thought this match was actually really good.
I did too. I really enjoyed it. I thought like they worked really well together. I was like,
I agree.
Oh, Tatanka was not that bad with Owen Hart.
Going into this card, I'm like, oh man, this is gonna suck. But like the first match, I didn't think it was terrible. It was
not at all.
It's Bam Bam Razor, you know, like you're gonna enjoy that. And then this, I'm like, huh, is this card like good? Like this match was really entertaining. It's great. It's great for this. And like my problem with King of the Ring is like, I always had a problem with the suspension of disbelief, right? With like, you know, the matches are going to be short. I'm like, why? Right. Like, if this was like a real tournament, like these matches would go long. But it's always like, oh yeah, they're 6 minutes. Some like goofy, like there's no near fall. Someone gets like, you know, schoolboyed or small package, that kind of stuff. So
it's like in a Survivor Series.
Exactly.
Like, a transition rule. Pin a guy.
Yes, exactly. They fall for this is a pay-per-view too. These guys are just going down in 6 minutes.
Before our next match, we've got Sean and Diesel with Todd Pettengill backstage. They're basically just refreshing the feud and how Diesel got his title shot. And it's a really interesting era. And Bruce Pritchard talks about it on his podcast, how essentially this Diesel versus Brett match was a test because, you know, they saw Diesel as their next big man. And this was they never had the intention of putting the belt on Diesel, although he was the Intercontinental Champion at the time. They kind of wanted to see what they had with him and if he could potentially carry it.
Sean was hurt too, I think, at the time.
Yeah, Sean's hurt. I think actually Brett's hurt as well during this. He's got like a pull groin muscle.
Real quick before we get going on Diesel, this is about Diesel, but I'm thinking to myself watching this match, and I'm like, wait, where was Diesel Kevin Nash on that Bleacher Report top 50? And did you even ever consider him as a top 10 guy. Not like when you were doing yours, like it didn't even cross your mind, right?
No,
no.
But like on that list, I mean, Razor's on there. Is like, how much better is Razor than Diesel? Yeah, in the WWE. Like they both have very similar runs, right? Nash wins the world title multiple times. I don't know. I just thought that was kind of funny. Like, and there's someone else on that list that's like really late. Now I'm going blank on it. Now I'm like, why are they on the list and not
Diesel? Yeah. No, that's a really good point. Never really thought of that.
I think he deserves. Oh, it's Vader. Vader is on the top 50 Bleacher Report for WWF.
Wow. And so if Vader's on there, Diesel should be in the top 50. Then Diesel should be on there.
Absolutely, right?
And not Scott Hall. Like Scott Hall has it, and everybody loves Scott Hall.
Not
but
top 10, but he's in the top 50, I would say.
Scott Hall?
No.
Razor?
Diesel. Diesel, yeah. Definitely. He could be in the 40s.
Both should be in the top 50.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. Yeah, exactly. Don't take it away from Razor, but Diesel should be in there. I think over Vader. No offense. I love Vader. Sorry. Didn't mean to sidetrack that, but
I love how impactful that episode seems to be. It continues to get brought up, not only on our own shows, but on other shows too. I just did the Turnbuckle Tavern debate show this evening, and they brought it up there too. So this was a fun piece. And going back in, I'm actually bringing up the list now, or at least I'm attempting to bring up the list now to see if Diesel was like somehow some way hidden into this. And
I went to the options and I went search for word and I put Diesel in and he comes up four times, but he's not, he ain't even,
wow,
he is not in
bogus
there. Big Show, Dean Ambrose made it in there.
Yeah. Dean Ambrose, come on, no offense,
talk about recency bias.
Yeah. Like RVD is in there, Owen Hart at 38.
RVD in there is kind of ridiculous too, but that he was more present during that era. Anyway, yeah. We're going off on a, let's get back to this King of the Ring. You could go back and listen to that.
J-E-double-F.
That top 10 episode if you want. I definitely would push you to do that.
I'm saving my housekeeping for now. I do not see Razor Ramon on this list.
Yeah, he is. He's there.
Yeah, he was.
Number 30. Yeah. Jeez Louise. Okay, my bad.
All right, so 1, 2, 3, kid. Versus Jeff Jarrett. 1, 2, 3 kids music is the best music on this card. True or false? Mm-hmm.
All right.
Owens
is good.
Owens. And I like 1, 2, 3 kids. But yeah, it's up there. It's, I get fired up listening to it. You know, like
JJ's entrance might give you a seizure, forewarning.
I'm surprised it didn't do that to Art Donovan. Who's this Randy? He wants to know who 1, 2, 3 kid is, which actually is the first time he asks a question that kind of works, because 1, 2, 3 kid is coming off of, you know, his Razor defeat, and he's still playing into that gimmick as the underdog.
They just announced him though, by the way.
Yeah, pay attention.
He's got zero short-term memory. It's like that movie, the Adam Sandler movie, right? 51st States.
Yeah.
All right. So, Donovan one in the 51st States movie poster. Nick, go.
Yes.
Who's the
Macho Man replacing Drew Barrymore, of course.
Is that 1, 2, 3? Yes, 1, 2, 3, Art.
Art did have something really fun to say about Jeff Jarrett. Can anybody remember what it was?
Yeah, he's got a tan or something, right?
No. Let's just take a look.
He's got
double J's, a cutie.
A genius or a cheater?
A cutie.
This guy, double J's, a cutie.
Play it again.
He's got double J's, a cutie.
Okay. No, that's going in the intro to our show. That's the new clip.
There you go.
I have so much hate for Jeff Jarrett too, and I know that he's an important figure in the wrestling history. But for me,
why do you have
hate? Oh man, I don't know if he's just that good of a heel. It's like go away heat. Like I just don't even want to see him. And maybe it's the, you know, in conjunction with the AEW run that was somewhat recent, and like seeing him on the screen again, it was just like, like go away. Like back then, I didn't care about him. In this era, I didn't care about him in really any era. And maybe Slap Nuts with the guitar was the only thing that you were like, okay, this is kind of funny. But
glad you said that, because I own the Slap Nuts t-shirt. I wish I did not give it away or whatever the hell happened to it, because I've definitely just, every time I saw you, I'd just wear the Slap Nuts shirt.
So, I mean, you guys could kind of guess what happens in this match, right? It's the old 1-2-3 kid does the upset story once again. You know, small Double package. J's getting cocky. He's taunting the figure four. 1-2-3 kid blocks it by holding him and using a small package to pin him for the 1-2-3. But then Double J goes on to deliver three pile drivers to the kid after the match. Where he has
and some flying
away.
Fists.
Flying fist.
Dreaded flying fist.
Let me jump and hit you with my hand.
Those pile drivers looked pretty ugly, too. Like, 1-2-3 kid is not, like, perpendicular. He's, like, not straight up and down. He's, like, his body is, like, curved backwards. Like, his feet are behind his head. Like, it was a lot of torque on those jams.
Sean Waltman matches are awesome. At this stage,
they
too,
really
like,
are.
1-2-3 kid, if he's getting his ass kicked, you're entertained. Like,
easily.
I don't know what is he like a cross between like Spike Dudley and like Owen Hart. I don't even know.
Yeah,
know?
We're gonna get to his Owen match, which is I want to say an under. It's 3 minutes, but it's a freaking gem.
Yeah,
oh, it's incredible.
We're what three matches into this card so far, tournament matches, and they're all like these are entertaining.
Yeah, they're very enjoyable. Exactly. I think that's where like. You mentioned the believability of it before, but that's where the shortness of them makes it much more intriguing.
And you know you loved it back in the day.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Quick match, like,
yep.
boom.
This, especially this match, knowing that we had to get to the finals and you knew it was going to take a while.
Yeah.
This match is when the announcers really start turning up and playing into the new generation tagline.
Yes. Oh, yes,
it was in every single match from here forward and multiple times, this is the new generation. Oh, and like talking about how the 1-2-3 kid is representing the new generation. And this, if this is the new generation, then count me in. And like Macho Man saying that he's happy that he retired because he couldn't keep up with these guys. And like,
meanwhile, it's so hypocritical with what the main event is.
We'll
get there. All right, our next match is the title match of the night and is Diesel, Intercontinental Champion, and he's with Shawn Michaels. He's facing off against Bret Hart, who Bret's showing us basically before the match how mediocre on the mic he is and why he was only number 9 on our top 10 list. He flubs over his words multiple times during this.
Yeah.
It's almost like his back is hurting from trying to carry the company, but I don't know. The mic stuff was really bad, if you ask me.
He's also, Mikey Workrate said that Tatanka was wet before. This guy is absolutely saturated, right? Like, humans are 60% water. This guy is like 96%.
You never see Bret Hart's hair dry, like back then, especially.
He's got the paint splatter gear, too.
The gear is really awesome and it has skulls down the side too, with the black and the pink, and the paint splatter though was really awesome. Like, I'm surprised we haven't gotten a figure of this one. Maybe we have, but I don't believe it was this one in particular because he's worn the paint splatter gear other times
earlier in this year at the pay-per-views. Yes. I'm pretty sure that's like his like the rumble, definitely the rumble, the rumble.
That's what it is.
Yeah, it's cool though. It's great gear. It's such hard
probably
gear
though. Like, one of my favorites.
All the Harts have great gear, Anvil included.
So they're playing the whole who's he going to be bringing down? Like, and it was at this point like, where
is it Keith? Is it Bruce?
Yeah, come on. Anybody actually think Gorilla that it's going to be one of those two?
Oh no, Jim, the guy with the mustache.
Yeah, and the worst part about all this is we get the announcer. Gorilla Monsoon. First of all, we haven't painted this picture of the introductions. They're coming through that tunnel. That is so cool
doors
how lit
too.
It is. You got the doors
the
open.
Lions on it.
The smoke is pouring out and the fog, and you just see like their silhouettes as they're coming through the tunnel. And you can hear as the announcer starts to announce Bret, you get Gorilla and Macho and the announcer all talking at once. When it's realizing that it's Anvil, his former tag team partner. And in my opinion, they completely destroy the moment. You can't hear the crowd if the crowd's popping or not, because there's so much talking going on. But supposedly
it was crazy.
Before
you're champion too, you know? Like,
yeah. Right.
Hogan comes out. No one's talking over it. Like, it's like,
no.
And like,
yeah, you want to hear the music. You want to let the crowd go crazy for Anvil's return. But nope. Stu asked Vince for to give Anvil one more shot. And that's kind of how he worked his way back in.
Oh, man. And that's OG Rhino stuff from Something to Wrestle With, right? Like, the Rhino is
They're basically trying to figure out what to do with Anvil at this point. So obviously this is the, I don't know. It's the whole sequence is really cool. What they do with Anvil on this card, if you ask me.
Absolutely. You never saw that coming. Like,
no.
Yeah.
The match. No, back then in 94, you never saw that coming. You never saw him turning.
But, before the match, real quick, do you notice how Brett, classic Brett, like weird pronunciation stuff. He says Diesel, like he's saying the name Cecil. It's like Diesel. Diesel.
The typical Brett.
Yeah.
Brett with two T's. Not to be confused with that Brett. The match goes 22 minutes and 51 seconds. And when I saw that, I was like, oh, dear God, I have to watch this. But this match is actually pretty fun.
It's quite good. It
really was. It was
probably one of Diesel's best matches, I would say.
Has to be one of Diesel's longest matches.
Apparently he's like operating on like a torn groin muscle or something like that.
Through. Yes, it was him. I couldn't figure out if it was him or Brett who was hurt. But there's definitely spots where like Brett jumps off the top rope and Diesel's supposed to catch him and put him into like a bear hug, and they botch it, like he can't hold him. Mm-hmm. But it's great. Like, and the way that they work in Anvil and they work in Sean, who, by the way, Art Donovan, surprise, surprise, doesn't know who Shawn Michaels is.
Macho sells him as one of the great ones is what he calls him, which I thought was pretty cool.
And Sean's got the gear with the kind of crosses on them, like a little foreshadowing to, you know, like.
He's got the blue. It's the black gear with the neon blue hearts on the back underneath those chaps.
Speaking of foreshadowing, Anvil's dressed all in pink too, just like Owen.
Oh, there we go. Look at that. I like it. Excellent Sherlock work there, you know?
That is.
So Anvil is Brett's brother-in-law, is that right?
Yes, correct.
And same with Davey Boy too, right?
Yep. Yeah, so they're both in-laws.
Do you think Stu is running like a Dungeon Order Brides business or something like that?
Gotta be.
People fall in love over bologna sandwiches.
I'll make you a bologna sandwich.
I tried to sell Bruce in one of our magazine of Dungeon Order Brides once, but no one would have him. He's an idiot.
Poor Bruce.
Poor Bruce.
Stu, is Bruce the blonde or the mustache guy?
Hell if I know. I've got fucking 15 children. Yeah.
if they ever made a movie about the Hart brothers, kind of like they did Iron Claw, they definitely would combine the life of Bruce and Keith.
That
definitely make them into one.
That's awesome.
So, all right, the match.
That's your next action figure to design. Like it's like a Hart horror movie.
Bret Hart tries to put Diesel in the sharpshooter, but Diesel reaches for the ropes, breaks the hold. Sean attacks Bret Hart while the ref's back is turned, which happens constantly throughout this. And then Jim Neidhart interferes, causes the DQ, and allows Hart to retain the title. And then after the match, Diesel and Shawn Michaels attack Bret Hart, but Jim the Anvil Neidhart has left. Like he saves the match and saves the title for Bret, but then he just abandons him completely. Like, what a dick.
Yeah, it was almost like the referee threw him out, and then he just kind of like stormed off on his own afterwards, but it was still strange. And the announcers were like, it almost felt like they were trying to make something up on the spot of like, this is why he left. And it was just not really well put together from a storyline perspective. Like, all right, he just left. Was he a dummy? Like, what? I don't understand. And then later on, obviously it pays off, but still, it's very strange way of, Yeah, very strange way of making this happen. And I do want to go back to Sean real quick. There is one bump in particular that, like, Sean has these classic Sean bumps, right?
You know what you're talking about.
You think he oversells to some, to others, you think it's tremendous. To me, this one was tremendous. He is up on the apron as Brett and Diesel are at it in the middle of the ring, and Brett gets up and just wallops him, just punches him right across the face when Sean is standing on the bottom rope, and he catapults himself off of the rope, flying all the way down and essentially across the guardrail, the bike,
like his throat,
bike rack style.
Yeah,
exactly. And throws himself. It was like unbelievable to watch. And I wish that they had a better replay of it, because I bet you it would have been incredible. But, like, you know, the Santos Escobar guy does that now. He kind of like catapults himself off of the bottom rope to the outside. It was essentially that, but Sean doing it all on his own. It was really, really cool.
Sean's excellent too. At the end of the match, he's like deking out the refs, like,
punching
them. He's all in here, even though he's not in a match.
This era of Sean is some of my favorite work. Era that made me like love Sean. Yeah.
I said King Bam Bam. How come we never got King Sean? That would have been interesting. Right. I guess he was too big for it. I don't know. But
yeah, I don't know.
Never maybe because right he timing. Just
wrong. Yeah.
Yeah, not, yeah, that's probably it more.
This Sean Brett, like, seeing the beginnings of that feud always makes me really happy to see, like,
so cool.
These things that happened before 97, right?
Yes.
The interactions that they have, and Sean really peppering Brett along the way, and the way that Jim was saying that he, like, just was ferocious just going after Brett after the match. And I always really love looking at those two go at it outside of that feud, that famous feud in 97.
Yeah, they wrestled at the previous Survivor Series, I want to say, right?
Yeah, 93.
No,
or 92.
92,
sorry.
But they are in the Survivor Series match together in 93, right? That's the Bruce and Keith. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, no, it is great. Meltzer, by the way, what do you think he gave this? Do you know?
He has to have been higher.
Two stars.
I would say at least three.
I'm going 375.
Bang! Bang! Wow. That's a double bang right there for Matt. Nailed it.
Nice.
375. He loved it.
I mean, it's definitely Diesel's. It's probably one of Diesel's best matches if you were to go watch the career of Diesel.
Yeah, but that's probably a lot, Brett, right? Macho calls Macho calls him the best of all time here. And he actually, like, seems kind of honest when he's saying it, though. I could see, like, how Macho Man would like Brett, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought this match was going to be but it was really good.
No, it's fun.
Yeah. Todster with Jerry Lawler backstage. I don't even want to. The Jerry Lawler stuff infuriates me on this card. It's so bad.
It does say that Todd's suit is from Steers, which I found.
Yeah, I like that.
That's a good insult.
We get our next match of our first match of the semifinals, and it's Razor Ramon versus IRS in a 5-minute match. Again.
Well, Brett's looking for Anvil, though.
Oh, yeah. Brett's looking for Anvil.
The Coliseum.
Yep. Exclusive.
Exclusive,
But again, what is this, the third match? This is the seventh match on the card, and I believe it's the third match that we have starting before the bell, and Razor attacks IRS in the aisle before the match starts. They brawl outside the ring, 5 minute long. IRS has some really great chin locks during this match, if that's your thing.
One of the more forgettable matches I've ever watched. I feel like I watched it yesterday, but I don't even remember it at all. I know it ends via the Razor's Edge, but that's only because I wrote it down.
Yep, Razor escapes one of
that's
his
your only
locks.
Note of the match.
It is.
Kicks him in the stomach and performs the Razor's Edge for the win. 1-2-3. Thank God this match is over.
Meltzer, 0.75.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. The only note I really had here was IRS enters with a mic calling Razor a tax cheat idiot.
I actually preferred Mabel and IRS to this.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Next match is the Owen Hart versus 1-2-3 Kid match.
Here we go.
And like Mike said, this is a classic, like a hidden gem. You almost wish it lasted longer than 3 minutes and 37 seconds. And again, another one, Owen Hart attacks 1-2-3 Kid before the bell.
Brutal.
The best of the best move of the card.
It's incredible. This is the one where he slides. Or no, is that
the baseball slide? Yeah.
Baseball slide, yeah, right? And then through the ropes.
Yeah.
He murders him with the baseball slide.
Destroys him.
Oh my God. It's flying.
It's beautiful, actually. You know, like, you're like, holy shit, this guy does deserve win the King of the Ring here. Like, watching this, like, he is showing off all the moves.
This is the first match that they're, like, not the first match they're promoting the new generation, but this is the first time that they promote the new generation. And I thought, okay, this is appropriate, because this is a match that, like, as a WWF fan, as someone who grew up watching this era and before, this felt like a new generation.
Yeah.
It felt like something totally different. It was such a fast-paced match by both guys, and they worked really well together.
Yeah, I thought so too. And lightning speed is a good way of saying it. The macho line was actually from this match. If this was what the new generation is all about, we're in for a treat. That's kind of what Macho Man says as he's bringing this along. And I think the one important piece, as the story was told, of like if 1-2-3 Kid was going to be available to come into the match at all. And right before he eats that gnarly baseball slide, Gorilla is essentially explaining that he looks to be out of it, a little bit disoriented. He's essentially saying that he's got a concussion and a head injury, but he's still coming to the ring anyway. I was like, ooh, okay, this one didn't age too well, but that's okay.
That would probably be the biggest flaw in this match. Not the only flaw. The biggest flaw in this match is the fact that there's no continuation of storyline, really. Like, 1-2-3 Kid doesn't sell anything throughout the match. Like, he's not selling the fact that he just got destroyed by Jeff Jarrett at the end of that match, which is an interesting spot. Like, it's definitely curious. Like, obviously that's to save Jeff Jarrett, I would assume, but it's an interesting spot that they did that. And, you know, but anyway, 1-2-3 Kid goes for leapfrog over Owen Hart. Owen Hart catches him and delivers a nasty power bomb right in the middle of the ring, then uses the sharpshooter, which he does better than Brett, and makes 1-2-3 Kid submit right in the middle of the ring. I love this match.
Kid's tapping out too. Like,
yeah,
you don't see that as much back then.
No,
at all, really.
Again, 3:37. I wish it went double that time. If it went like double that time, I would gladly give this like high fours.
Absolutely. And
I could still give it in the fours, and I still will, but it was a treat.
Yeah, I don't. Right. I just can't, like, it'd be great. 15 minutes of this, even imagine
nowadays. This is the kind of match that you would want that length to a match
at least, right? It would go if it was AEW, easily. We could do this.
If this was on Raw, it would have been like a 30-minute match easily. We get a Coliseum home video exclusive interview with Roddy Piper backstage as he's getting ready for his match. I don't know what he's talking about. He's about rambling.
King Toady.
Oh my God.
Rambling is exactly the word that I used. Rambling in all of his Canadian glory, as his Canadian accent is out in Front Street, man.
Oh yeah.
Every single word is very Canadian, and it was but he looks shredded here. We talked about it a little bit earlier, but this dude, as he's like getting changed for his match, is ripped, absolutely ripped. And this is his first time back after like filming movies and shit and coming back and facing off against Lawler. So it's like he was ready for it, man.
He calls him King Toady, Funky Frog, because he thinks he has no neck. That's the whole thing. Yeah, he says Lawler has no neck, so he's calling him like a frog and a toad. But he's just, it's just stream of consciousness.
Went over my head.
Yeah, not good. Speaking of not good, our next match, the Head Shrinkers, the tag team champions with Afa and Lou Albano. What'd they think? They throw Lou Albano with the Head Shrinkers, they can make them baby faces? This is terrible. They're facing off against Crush and Yokozuna, who have Jim Cornette and Mr. Fuji. This match goes almost 10 minutes long. It's so terribly bad. I blacked out during it.
I did appreciate in the beginning that there was this like headbutt spot. Essentially, everyone is doling out headbutts, but nobody's selling them because quote unquote, everyone's got a hard head is what Gorilla tells everyone. The Samoan hard head stereotype comes in heavy in the beginning of this match. And I thought it was really funny.
The only reason I like woke up during this match was because Mike texted us to look, keep an eye out for what Lex Luger is wearing. And it was at that point that I realized Lex Luger was even featured on this card. Mm-hmm. And Lex comes out to help the head shrinkers. What? And he's basically just wearing Doinks. Why is he wearing Doinks pants? I thought immediately.
Yes, like, yes.
Red, white, and blue striped pants, like Doink the Clown's pants. And then he takes his shirt off and he's got like, it's like a full body leotard.
Yes, it is. It is.
What is he wearing?
It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life.
Thank God he took the straps off because I felt really uncomfortable looking at his moose knuckle.
Oh, Jesus.
We're going there, huh?
Anyway, I don't even know who's what
that happened
in this
match. Who's that guy with the American flag?
how much does that guy weigh?
Art Donovan was not impressed by Lex Luger, let me tell you. This match is dog shit, and it's a dud.
Is that what Meltzer said?
I don't know. I'm sure Meltzer gave this. This had to have been a dud on Meltzer's card.
He does say, how much does that guy weigh in this match? Of course yes. He does in this match.
Of course he does. Monsoon, I think it was like, about Yokozuna.
Yeah, 600 plus. And he goes, huh? 600 plus.
All right, let's get to our King of the Ring finals. We've got Razor Ramon. I don't know if I like it.
1.5 from Meltzer, by the way. I'm sorry.
Wow. Why could Razor not put the vest on for the intros of these next matches? Like, put the vest back on, man. You're warming up. You get warm.
I don't know. That sweaty.
That irked me. 1994 King of the Ring. Just those words are chilling, says Macho Man. Are they really? What's so chilling about it, Macho?
He's a good salesman. You gotta
Art Donovan's pick to win the King of the Ring is out first. Razor, and Razor's gonna win, and he's gonna be the king. Like what? He forgets the event that he's at and what it's called.
No short term memory. I'm telling you, he's got nothing.
This match was it. I thought it was fun. You watch it and you're almost like Razor. How's Razor not win this match? You know, like it almost felt surprising that he didn't go over.
Yeah, I kind of felt the same way. Like obviously, you know the finish coming in. You know why we're covering it. All of that. We're at the finals, but like I was very surprised with the Owen choice over Razor. But obviously, you know where it goes from here and the feud that's going to be set up and the turn from Anvil and all the fun stuff that's to come. And we've already kind of spoken about on this show at times. But like they're thinking about where Razor is going, like when, why is it not him? Like I felt like he had all the juice at this time. And you guys are better historians of this era than I am. But like, why wouldn't they?
That's what's super interesting too, right? They're both coming off of iconic wins at WrestleMania 10.
Right.
Iconic. Yes. Iconic matches, iconic wins. So there, and it's like the winners of those matches face. And it is kind of crazy that Owen goes over, but in some ways it's not like
it's maybe they had
less good heels. You know what I mean? Like IRS in the semifinals, right? Like
the saddest thing to me though is to think about where these two were, right? What a few months earlier at WrestleMania 10, right? Back in March or April of 1994, they're in probably what people consider to be both of their best matches in WWF, right?
Exactly.
Versus Bret and versus Shawn. And then you fast forward to WrestleMania 11 on the spot, not Mike, because I'm sure Mike already knows the answer, but could you tell me who Razor faces at WrestleMania 11?
I know it's Double J.
But oh, you do? Because I did not
Double
remember.
J. It's in the opener, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Razor with 1-2-3 Kid defeating Jeff Jarrett with the roadie by DQ in a singles match for the Intercontinental title.
Yeah. It's,
what about Owen? Do you know what Owen's doing?
I think it's a tag team match, probably.
Yeah. At 11, it's the him and Yoko.
Him and Yoko.
Oh, wow. Again,
it's
two.
Just so crazy how that.
Yoko's a surprise.
Yeah.
Who do they wrestle?
Smoking guns.
Oh, whoop the F and do.
Yeah. I mean, you've also got Bret Hart versus Bob Backlund in an I Quit match at that WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's WrestleMania 11. Why haven't we covered that yet? Why haven't we not covered WrestleMania 11? You got the Blue Brothers on there.
But it's really crazy how, like, I mean, it actually makes complete and perfect sense that the two of these guys are facing off in the finals, right? Like true. Razor yeah. is a white hot like baby face, and Owen is a huge heel for them. And they're trying to get him over, I would assume. And
yeah, they're trying to build him up even further.
Wouldn't you love to see a card, this card, where you cut off Lawler versus Piper and distribute those 20 minutes yes. or whatever it
oh,
is
man.
Elsewhere?
Yeah.
Here, definitely. You get
five
right?
more like, minutes to Owen and one yeah, to Greek it at
I would
least.
Give it to that match and this match, probably. This is too short.
Just nail it right onto IRS and Mabel.
So Razor's attempting the Razor's Edge by the ropes. Owen throws him onto the arena floor and Jim Neidhart comes out. Everybody thinks he's like there to help Razor. He picks up Razor and clotheslines him, throws him into the steps on the outside. Then he throws him back in the ring. Owen Hart drops a beautiful elbow in the middle of the ring and pins him 1, 2, 3. Owen and the Anvil come in to destroy Razor after the match. And then it's weird. Like, they don't send him up for his coronation. They cut to, like, Brett backstage, which I don't know if that's a Coliseum
video
thing.
That's an exclusive, I think.
And Brett has, like, no comments and just walks away.
Yeah. He's disgusted. I can't believe what just happened. I don't have a comment. And just kind of blows it off. Maybe it's, you know, giving them time to get back there and get set up and do what they need to do. They cart out Jack Tunney's out there as well. Yep, he doesn't say a word, but Todd is out there with him. But, you know, I thought that Macho did actually kind of the best work here during this match in particular. First, he sets up the stage and, you know, talks about the crown and this is why you do this and to get the crown and the scepter and like setting that up. But most importantly, he asks Gorilla a very, very important question at the very beginning of this match. And I have to play it.
You think, Gorilla, that being on Father's Day, that Owen Hart's father is proud of him?
I'm sure that Stu Hart is proud of all his children, Randy.
Equally?
Well, I don't think anything ever comes out equally.
All right.
Ooh.
Hey, you know, I'm not very proud of Bruce, to be honest with you. You know, we did this thing, this Japanese thing, it is karaoke at Christmas one time.
Karaoke still, yeah.
Yeah, did you know that in Canada we celebrate Christmas on the 27th?
I didn't know that. I knew about Boxing Day, but I didn't know about the 27th.
Well, we were doing the karaoke in the only music we listen to is this tape that had the wrestling entrance songs on it. And so Bruce, he asked me, he said I had to sing the Tonkers song.
And did that get you and Helen doing the Watusi after that?
The war cry. And I wanted to cover that Bruce with the ashtray, but I sang the song. I sang it pretty well, I have to say for myself.
I bet you did, Stu. Todd and Ben and Jack Tunney are reading from a scroll to crown the Rocket, the 1994 King of the Ring, and Owen demands everybody's respect, tells Pettengill to get on one knee and salute the king. He tells Jack Tunney
He does.
He gets on one knee.
What? That's pathetic, Pettengill.
I mean, it's Pettengill we're talking about here. I would expect nothing less. Tells Tunney to back off and let Anvil crown him. This is when Owen makes his first proclamation that he now wants to be known as the King of Hearts. He ditches the Rocket nickname. It's incredible.
I got it. Let's listen.
The 1994 King of the Ring. Ladies and gentlemen,
wait a minute here. My first proclamation as King is to be from this day forward known as the King of Hearts. The King of Hearts. And I want you people to remember it with respect for the King of Hearts.
You don't think that he meant Bret Hart, do you?
The crown is gigantic on Owen's head. But like when you listen to his voice on the mic during this era, it's like, why couldn't they have figured out a way to do more with him for a longer period of time? Because the voice alone on the mic, and I thought he was, I honestly swear, and I mean this honestly, I think Owen had potential to be better in all aspects over Brett. Like, I think his heel work on the mic could have gotten better if he was given more time. I mean, he sounds like a heel on the mic. It's incredible.
He's also super prone to, like, the flubs and stuff.
Yes.
As clearly covered in this show with, what, I'll kick your leg
out of your leg. Yeah, out of your leg. Yes. But again, it's amazing that they could have never it's almost like you could tell Owen was too young, and he would have made a good replacement for Anvil. Like, if Anvil couldn't have held it down back in like the late 80s, I think Owen could have done that.
Oh, that would have been pretty well. Yeah.
But you know, obviously, we wouldn't have never seen that. But
you always ask this question on the you know, Hanging with Mr. Cooler episodes, like, if there was one wrestler that died that you would like wish didn't happen to, is Owen your guy? I don't know. Would it?
Yeah.
Because I know that comes up, Owen, a lot, right? Like, you say, like, as an example, Owen, but like, is that
but I feel pick? Like I don't know, because I feel like they were never going to do right by him. Like, I feel like, you know what I mean? Like, after probably. This run, I love his tag team stuff with Yoko. I love the tag team stuff with Bulldog later. And then obviously his role in the Hart Foundation in 96, 97. But like, I feel like they were never going to do right by him and have him be anything more than an intercontinental champion. And that's okay. That's all right. Like,
he'd crush nowadays though. Wouldn't he?
Oh, a heat magnet. Heat magnet.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, listen, we chose to cover Owen Hart because his birthday, and unfortunately coincides with his death took place in May, as well. And that's kind of why we landed on this. And, it really makes you realize how good Owen was in the ring and on the mic during this era, if you ask me.
Yeah, I think that you paired him with someone like 1-2-3 Kid, right? That Sean Waltman, that those two could just go at it. And we saw the magic in, you know, 4 minutes, and all of us were sitting here very impressed with that. And I feel like there were more opportunities for us to see that type of performances out of Owen. And I know that, like, he always wanted to be home too, was kind of what you heard about through the history of it all. And, you know, maybe that's what held him back a little bit more. And, you know, we won't really know, but like, it's definitely a shame to think that, you know, we didn't get the best of Owen. Like, there was more that could have been given, and there's a higher ceiling that was never achieved within the WWE umbrella. And it's definitely puts him on that short list for the question that you ask on Hanging with Mr. Cooler. Like, it definitely puts him there.
Is the cage match with Brett at the following SummerSlam the next one?
94.
He's got a hell of a 94, huh?
Oh my God. Yeah. It's incredible when you think of it. And not even the full calendar year, really. Yeah. Like, because it kind of fizzles out after SummerSlam 94.
Yeah, what's he doing at Survivor Series? I don't remember.
I don't even remember that Survivor Series.
No, it's Brett versus Backlund at the towel.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
He throws in the towel for a Brett.
Brett.
No, yeah, he's veering into 1995 at that point.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He takes Helen as the towel or whatever.
Yeah.
And then he takes it.
I appreciate you, Mike. I didn't have to go do that housekeeping.
Like, Owen, like, could you imagine what they could have done? Again, they were very similar characters, except one was like very arrogant and one was like that whiny little brother. But like Sean and Owen, like, yeah, there's a few Sean and Owen matches out there. But during this era, could you imagine like those two going at it? Like, it would have been insane.
The biggest missed opportunity is like that, like post Brett leaving, like Owen's the last part standing versus Sean. But Sean was in
world.
And he gets hurt then. Like, it just. That would have been one of my dream matches, I think. Owen, Sean, Post.
You give him a run.
Montreal.
Run.
Oh my God, that would
with the belt,
amazing. No, what they don't bring up in this match, which I wish they did as broadcast journalists, is that like oh, they're going back to their new foundation roots, you know.
Yes, yes.
Yep. Owen and Anvil.
They were a little bit distracted by Art Donovan, I think.
Yeah.
And having to say new generation 8 million times throughout the card as well.
It's really unfortunate that this pay-per-view continues for another like 25 minutes with Piper and Jerry Lawler. Do you guys care to talk about that at all?
Well, so no, just I, one comment. But speaking of new generation, like of all the times that they're like, you know, pushing this as hard as possible, the main event of this match, yeah, the first time there's two 40-year-old guys, yeah, wrestling each other.
It's pathetic. Mm. He's, yeah, pushing the new generation all night and then ending the card with Piper versus Lawler. Lawler is 44 at the time. Hogan, who they dog on during this era, they dog on Hogan, is the same age as Roddy Piper. They're both, yeah, 40.
Yeah.
Razor and Brett, 36. Diesel, 35. It's, I don't know. The whole new generation thing is such a joke. And to bring Piper back, the craziest thing is Piper then disappears. Lawler goes back to commentary. Piper disappears until 1995. He's not on WWF screen again.
Yeah, this seems so like out of left field. Like it, yeah, has nothing to do with the rest of the card. It just like stands on its own in the main event. What are they, yeah, thinking?
It pissed me off, yeah, so much seeing that this was the main event.
Who's this guy in a kilt? The other guy in the match.
Lawler brought him in to like impersonate. He was like a Piper impersonator.
Oh,
sent in like fan video or cassette or something. And yeah, they liked him. He does a pretty good Piper impression.
He does a great Piper impression. Full Canadian. He comes in here, and this is like a classic Monday Night Raw promo where Jerry Lawler says he's going to bring out Roddy Piper. The music plays, and then this scrawny little runt comes out, spiky hair. And he, the one thing that I thought of when I saw this guy who's dressed in a kilt and has a Hot Rod shirt on, he looks like AI Beavis. Like, yeah, that's, yes, what I think of.
Yeah.
It's like with the pointy nose and the big forehead and the way that he's talking, like he just, every time that you see the AI real life Beavis and Butthead, this is essentially AI Beavis.
WWF must have thought they were such hot shit bringing back Piper for this, because they gave him a king's entrance for this. They tried to recreate that classic Piper image of like the camera going up the aisle and like greeting him as he comes out of the tunnel, and he's got his hands on his hips, and then you got like 12 bagpipes lining the aisle for him. I was like, what are they doing right now? It was and then it was mind-boggling.
And then they turn all the attention off of Piper and they put it on this AI Beavis guy.
Yeah.
They call that AI Beavis guy kid and stuff too. Like, he's not like 12. He's like,
right. And this is the second longest match on the entire card, filled with 10 matches, and it goes almost 13 minutes long. It's awful.
I'd rather wipe my own ass for 13 minutes straight.
Sometimes you need that.
I barely paid attention because I did not want it to ruin my thoughts on this pay-per-view.
You know, you started wrapping up the show even before we started talking about this match, and I was like, oh man, Nick's going to bury it. He's not even going to like mention it. We're just going
to
go home.
I really didn't want to, but it was so bad, and it's really unfortunate because
we were just talking Piper's praises too.
Yeah. The whole pay-per-view though had that, like, I know they were pushing it down our throat, but it had that new generation feel with the whole card, everybody that was on the card. And then you end with this. And like, I'm sorry, whatever they tried to do during this era with Lawler as like a main event guy in WWF at age 45,
it
was terrible. It must have lost so many people.
Poor Bret Hart gets sucked into the black hole of Lawler. Like, it's the worst.
Come
like,
on. Do better, Vince.
How about though, Piper at home with in front of his piano and his keyboard with like the little TV in the corner?
Yeah, what's
like,
up with that? Guy's a movie star and he's got like a 10-inch TV, tube TV in his living room next to a beautiful fireplace. Like,
I mean, it's 1994.
He was the special guest ref at WrestleMania 10, right?
Yes.
So like he's Piper? He's around. Yeah.
Terrible. Piper. Poor Piper.
He's bad here. Very bad.
Yeah. Anyway, what do you guys want to give this whole let's give this whole King of the Ring cans in the cooler.
Oh boy.
I'll go first since I threw it out there. This is a really hard one for me to rank. Because there's a lot of fun spots. And I was excited to dabble in the new generation, the 94 era, the post WrestleMania 10 era, when kind of like, this is really like right after this and SummerSlam 94 is when the decline rapidly hits. I don't think I can go higher than 3.5 cans in the cooler. And I think that's almost being too generous. The 1-2-3 kid and Owen Hart match is the bright spot for me. And the only thing that I would recommend going to seek out, which you could probably find on YouTube.
I think there's a lot of nostalgia from this era that takes over with me of like just the characters and the jesters opening the doors with the lions on them and like all of those things. Man, I'm like in that same range as you, Nick. I think the 3.5 is where to go, but I'm going to go and give it an extra quarter can because because of the pillows that are underneath the cape that Owen Hart wears. They're probably about 6 inches tall. They look like linebacker Art Donovan's shoulder pads are underneath that cape. So just for the hell of it, let's go 3.75. But hey, no, 3.5 is the right one.
Those pads.
How much does that guy weigh?
Adds an extra 10 pounds there, Art, without a doubt.
Wow.
I even think 3.5 is generous. As we're talking this through, I think 3 is more appropriate.
I did really like the Brett and Diesel match. I thought that was really good.
Yeah.
That was worth watching. The 1-2-3 kid and Owen was worth watching. I mean, nothing that like makes a list to like to go back and you can't must see, but they were entertaining. Right. They were good
Put it this way. Here's my question that I'll ask you guys before you give your ranking. Does watching this King of the Ring make you want to watch anything else around this era?
No.
Because for me, it does not at all.
No.
Like I have no interest to watch SummerSlam 94 after this, which we contemplated.
Well, that's my problem. Just, go ahead.
I mean, parts like I'm interested in more Owen.
Yeah.
And more like 1-2-3 kid, maybe more like Brett stuff.
Right.
Around this era. But that's about it.
Yeah.
My problem with this whole era is that like it looks cheap, it feels cheap, you know what I mean? Like it doesn't seem like a big deal, you know?
It feels like you're watching TBS, knock it. Like that's what it felt like. It felt like it was a dip in production.
But they're broke, right? Like the guy's got lawsuits going on and stuff, like Hogan's gone. Like I don't know, it just feels like despite the fact that you're pleasantly surprised by what happens in the ring, right? Like I don't know, I just can't, it like has a stink to it. And clearly it goes into decline, like Mike's talking about before. It's like this is the beginning of, you know, like they're on a downswing here and like you see it coming. Maybe that's part of my problem. I don't know. But yeah, so I don't even know if I give it 3. I give it like a 2.75. That's mine. Despite the fact I like what's happening here. But I just don't want to go back and rewatch it.
Yeah,
like,
I think that's the big...
I can't wait to watch that.
That's the big point is that I have no interest in watching anything that came before this or anything that comes after.
I think
there's too much good wrestling
that has swayed me from what was originally a 3.5 to the 3+ quarter. So 3.25
though.
who would have thought Matt is the new quarter guy?
I think it's the Discord's fault when they put out the bingo card for our show, and you know you get to like put the little bingo marker if Matt gives it a quarter cans. But I'm just trying to hand out and make people have bingo. That's it.
No, I have a really sad addendum to this. You want to hear it? It has to do with the card and someone on it. Ready?
Right.
This is sad. It's legitimately sad. 2 weeks following the pay-per-view, Joey Morella dies in the car accident. Yeah. Sorry, you guys thought a joke was coming or something?
Yeah, no. I did.
No, I wasn't. I could tell by your tone you were going. You were going
He, poor guy was only 31, right?
Was he on this card?
Yeah, he's on the card. He's a ref. Yeah,
he's a ref, right?
And Gorilla's the dad, obviously. Poor Gorilla. It's Father's Day. He has no idea. That's terrible. They said Whippleman was in the car too. Whippleman wore a seatbelt. Morella did not. So
wow,
wear that seatbelt. Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to.
All right.
Go back.
We are not. Don't worry, guys. We are not covering SummerSlam 1994 this summer. We're cooking up some other stuff, which I don't know if we've actually officially done it, but I'm making these guys. Finally, we're going to watch Canadian Stampede in two parts. I'm so excited because We're 150 episodes in, and I can't believe that we haven't covered what is one of my favorite pay-per-views and one of my favorite main events. So we're here for that. And then, of course, we're going to be dabbling in some SummerSlam of some sort. And I don't know how we're going to do it, but we're going to do it and have some fun.
If you guys have recommendations of what SummerSlam we should cover, drop us a line, whether it's Instagram, on the Discord channel. There's a whole section for recommendations. Like, by all means, come in. Let us know what you guys want to hear.
We should set up our own SummerSlam King of the Ring, like pick eight and let them argue it out on Discord.
Yeah.
Bracket.
I like it. All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. It was a long one. I'm glad your ears are still here. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at Extra Cooler. Join the Discord channel in the show notes. While you're at it, don't forget to follow, subscribe, rate, review, and tell all of your friends about the Extra Cooler Show, available wherever you get your podcasts. Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
How much does that guy weigh?
150. Wait a minute here. My first proclamation as king is to be from this day forward known as the King of Hearts. The King of Hearts.
That's Sep.